Walt Dip to the Red Rage. We're back. I'm going to get to CD in a minute. You know, seriously, I don't get the drawback. You know, I guess that's the part that I'm just lost on. I mean, like, more meaningful college football games at the end of the year is less good. How is that possible? I mean, did we not just watch an expanded playoff, which we thought was great, and it culminated in one of the better national championship games we've seen? Didn't that just happen? So what's the drawback to it? I don't even get the drawback to it. I don't even know what it would be. I mean, this antiquated notion of, oh, you're going to damage the regular season. I mean, again, did the 12 do that? Did the 12, because that's what people were saying about the 12. It was going to damage the regular season. Did it? Or was the end of the season the best thing in all of college football? The best thing that we've seen thus far, maybe in college football, maybe ever. So why would the 24 hurt that? It just seems counterintuitive. It's like illogical. Like, again, like, I like ice cream. Is less ice cream better? No, not from my perspective. More ice cream's better. It's the same thing. I like football. So is less football better? No. This isn't rocket science. More football better. Cavemen, more football better. Right? I mean, I've read these polls where, like, everybody hates this. Why? Why? We get to see more playoff games. Maybe some upsets. Why would we dislike that? I'm not sure. I haven't heard one solid, salient answer to why we would not do this. I mean, I don't care. Look, I get their motivations are money and greed. I get that. I don't care. So are mine. I want more football games that matter. CD, what's going on there, CD?
You know, I was against it, and then I thought about one thing. You changed my mind in, I don't know, in 20 minutes, right?
Good. Join the team. Join the army.
Well, the more football piece isn't the driver for me. The driver for me is getting back the rivalries we lost. Hmm. When you said we can have more competitive games during the regular season, I think about some of the games that have gone away, like Bedlam and the Apple Cup and things like that. Like, you can bring those back now. Maybe they played at the beginning of the season, but those are always fun games to watch, right? And you can rekindle some old rivalries. You can have a Maryland and Virginia rivalry that they used to have back from the ACC. And then also it allows Clemson and Florida State to play more SEC teams without it being taboo, so to speak. So you won me with that argument.
Good.
You won me with that argument.
But, I mean, since when is more meaningful football a bad thing? I'm waiting for somebody to fully explain what the bad part of this would be. Again, I'm sort of tired of it lessens the regular season importance. Again, we already had that argument. Okay, that already played out. We already found out that wasn't true. Everyone said that. The flat Earth people said that when we went to 12. they said that then. And then we had it, and it turned out that 12 was good.
Who has Kyrie for his opinion on college football? You hear me? Who has Kyrie?
Yeah, Kyrie. but 12 turned out to be far more entertaining than 4, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So now 24, again, there's always some level of evil. You know, it's like Bill Hancock when this whole thing started, and Bill used to say, no, no, no. And I said, yes, 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 Bill, it's going to happen. And he said, no, Walt. And then finally he said, you know, if I give you a 14 playoff, will you leave me alone? And I said, no, Bill, it's called creeping incrementalism. I said, we're going to want more. So those yahoos took the stage and they celebrated 4 while telling us on stage that 8 would still be evil. which, of course, we knew would not be evil. And now we had 12, and we had wound up with a great national championship game last year. So now, you know, we're being told by some that 24 is still evil. Well, it's not. It's actually going to be okay. And it's going to involve more areas of the country, which is a good thing. There's going to be a lot of engagement.
I would also say that the style of play doesn't change much in the playoffs, right? It's just the best teams win. Unlike our NBA, where you feel like you're watching a totally different sport sometimes. And
hey, you watch the NBA playoffs last week, we are watching a totally different sport sometimes. I mean, we're seeing some things that we have never seen at any level of basketball. I mean, I still can't get over the Knicks outscoring the Hawks 69-11 in 15 minutes of play. I mean, and then Orlando goes 4 of 37 and misses 23 straight shots. This year is pro basketball, CD. I have no explanation for some of this stuff I've seen in these playoffs.
I don't either, and I'm thinking about the end. I mean, I guess the cream is going to rise to the top, but even if the Lakers had any competent scorer outside of LeBron, who knows what that game would have been, just because they were able to take SGA out of it. It was one of the worst games I've seen SGA play in a while.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just like, but the problem is they still have no shot.
Yeah.
They did everything right and still lost by 25.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma City actually has a better game in them in game two, so we'll see.
Much better. I think it's gonna be a 30-point game tonight.
Yeah,
I love LeBron. I just don't, you know, I don't know. It's incongruent. And then the Knicks, I do think the Knicks, but I don't know. Knicks OKC will be my pick right now. That would be what I want to see. That would be very interesting from many standpoints, but we shall see. Because
I think the Knicks are playing great.
Injuries are playing just a massive part right now.
Yeah.
And so you can't pick it.
Well, that's true. I mean, and Ananobi now has a hamstring injury, but I think the Knicks have been playing unbelievable basketball. And I said a couple weeks ago, I think they're coming out of the East, and I think they could win the whole thing. I mean, but they're going to need Ananobi. He has to be healthy because, I mean, I think they're truly playing great basketball. They. If they have him, they might sweep Philadelphia. I'm not convinced. I think Philadelphia had their little magic moment versus a Boston team that was seemingly ready to go away, and you know, Jason was injured. So I think the Knicks are going to be there. I'm not 100% sure about the West. I think you have to lean OKC, but I wouldn't count out the winner of T. Wilson and the Spurs.
Yeah. No, I agree with you there. And I'll leave you with this. For the first time in a decade, my Hornets were in a playoff contention, and I ended up in that time marrying a woman from Long Island. So just imagine in our household right now the Knicks propaganda that's happening.
Wow. Well, first of all, congratulations, CD. Why you know, you're just breaking this news to us. You should have told us this long ago. Congratulations. Yes, congratulations. You should have listened to Benny Hill, though. That's, you know, this, you know, the Benny Hill advice, CD, is why buy a book when there's a thriving lending library right in town? but no, trust, it's all good, CD. Congratulations. That's really wonderful news. Now, going back to the your football team for a minute, are you interested in extending Bryce Young? And by extending, I don't mean putting him on a stretcher machine. Because I could understand why you'd want to put him on a stretching machine. But I
think we're in this purgatory thing, right?
Yes, purgatory.
Where I think it's like, okay, so he comes back. Let's go. Okay, let's say the max wins we have is 11. That's a very good season. The more likely is 9 or 8. And we can't count on the division being as bad as it was last year. So what do? You give him another year? No. But at the same time, you drafted in the middle of the rounds and you lost out on all the generational quarterbacks.
And you moved up. You gave up resources to get him, you know, and that's a dilemma. Look, he's gotten better under Canales. Canales, first of all, benched him like you thought you'd never see him again. But he has gotten better under Canales. I think his best quarterback rating was last year, like 87. But he needs to take another major step forward because, quite honestly, he does not look anything like an elite NFL quarterback right now. So I think this is the year for him. So maybe this is the question, CD. Will he be the quarterback, and will Carolina pay him? So will he be the quarterback in 2 years?
I think the answer is most likely no.
I sort of think
and
that
I think
too.
And I think that's because Dan Morgan, more so than Canales, Dan Morgan has not publicly committed to Bryce.
Yeah.
Long term.
Yeah, I sort of think that's right. And, you know, look, this is a dilemma that teams get themselves in. I mean, you know, if you don't keep him, first of all, if you pay him, you're going to have to pay him what starting quarterbacks in the National Football League make. You're going to have to pay him $50 million. You're not going to get any discount. I mean, you're going to have to pay him something like that a year. And do you want to pay a 5'10", 190-pound guy $50 million a year who's been basically sort of a jag in his time at Carolina? I don't want to. But then the issue is, okay, so if you don't do that, what do you do at quarterback?
You find Sam Darnold 2.0 and hope for the best.
Yeah, it might be right.
That's true.
That's like, right.
You just hope for the best.
That's right.
Because you can't spend the money on the asset if the asset isn't going to produce.
You find one of those other career white guys.
Yeah, Chris Lincoln 3.0. It's fine. I think Kerry Collins is still working.
Okay. Yeah. The racist.
All right. man, have a good one, guys.
All right, CD. See ya. Congratulations, CD. That's really incredible. That is well done there. Speaking of well done, mark your calendars for the 17th Dabo Swinney Ladies Clinic presented by us. Join us on Saturday, July 18th at Little John Coliseum for a day filled with football, shopping, and fighting for a cure for breast cancer. Meet the 26 Tiger players and staff and shop from over 40 amazing vendors. Registration is open from now until Friday, June 24th. All proceeds benefit breast cancer initiatives in South Carolina. Register at DabosAllInTeam.com. That's DabosAllInTeam.com. I see you there, Ramona. All right, Rudy, hold on. Rudy and Michael, I'm coming right to you. Don't move. But I'm going to need another. I'm going to need another minute. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you about my friends at Twin Peaks. The Peaks is back, baby. The Peaks is back. It's awesome. It just can't get better. I mean, we have specials. Check out what's brewing. I mean, it's unbelievable. $5 Captain Morgan and Coke. 467 Dos Equis, 469 Shiner Bock, 597 Terrapin High and Hazy. It's all at the Peaks. Margarita Monday. How about that? Margarita Mondays at the Peaks. Hockey Night. Lace them up. Labatt Blue, 22 ounce, 467 on Hockey Night. It can't get better than that. Thursday is Stella Artois, $5.97. Just so many unbelievable specials. Jack Daniel's Blackberry Lemonade. I've never had that. I would try that. Jack Daniel's Blackberry Lemonade. How about that, Ramona? And then all day, every day specials, $18 buckets, 5 premium bottles. You can mix and match, $4.99 cheap shots. $15 buckets of 5 American bottles. That's mix and match. It's all at Twin Peaks. They've got you covered. The UFC, hockey. We have the hockey playoffs. We have the NBA playoffs. We have Major League Baseball. We have it all at the peaks. And of course, the beautiful women, the scenic views. There are 80 high-definition monitors. No matter where you sit, there are unbelievable seats. And like I tell you all the time, the biggest surprise at Twin Peaks is the food. The food is outstanding. Trust me, you will thank me later. Get to the Peaks. There is no place for a sports fan like Twin Peaks. They're always brewing something at the Peaks. So, again, get out there. Trust me, 100%. You will thank me later. All right, we'll take a quick break here. Rudy and Michael coming up on the other side.
If you haven't noticed, the NBA playoffs are in full.
It is Rudy, Michael, and Robert, all good callers, all right. Now, Rudy, how are you, Rudy? Good to have you.
Tim Tula, my friend.
Hey, Rudy. You doing good? Yeah, good. Thank you, Rudy. Appreciate it. Appreciate you getting in.
Hey, I'm going to tell you, yeah, I appreciate you, my brother, as always. A couple different topics here. CD is a great caller. He really is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, another great caller.
Yep. And have you heard from Trucker James? I'm concerned. We haven't heard from him.
Yeah, we haven't heard from James lately, but I believe he got a new job, so he's probably trucking around the globe there.
Well, he needs to pull over to the rest area and give it a call.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We need to do a wellness check.
On Twin Peaks. Well, okay. The Nashville hot chicken sandwich to die for.
Oh, see, I would kill for that. I'd kill for it right now, too.
Yeah, and I know this is not the time of year, but that venison chili they serve.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Off the chain.
The food's the biggest surprise at Twin Peaks. The food is always the biggest surprise. We know about the beautiful women.
I've never had venison chili until I went there.
I hadn't either.
Like, when this gets cooler in the months.
Yep.
That's my go-to.
Yep. Yeah,
for sure.
Agree on all.
Well, let me get off to a little PGA real quick. I don't know if I know you're not talking about it, but Aaron Rodgers reminds me of Patrick Reed. Why don't they just go away?
Yeah, I think there are probably a lot of people who would agree with that opinion, Rudy. Yep, not exactly beloved characters.
And one last thing, as far as the PGA, because, you know, I'm a golfer, you know, I'm probably not as good as I used to be. I'm 51 now, but when I was 25, I swore I could have hit a pitching wedge 150 yards, but, you know, we'll see. what do you think about the LIV golfers closing shop and they coming back to the PGA? Because they went for money. Do you think they should, like, donate a portion of that to charity in order to get back in, or should they get back in at all? Appreciate you taking my call,
thank you,
friend.
Rudy. Thank you. Look, I understand the bitterness towards those golfers. I really do. I don't know. That's actually an interesting idea, Rudy. I don't know if they'd be willing to do it, but I think supporting charitable causes is a great idea. It would show I think it would show something on their part, so I don't think that's a bad idea. I don't know about the willingness to do it though. Michael and then Robert. Michael, how are you, Michael? Good to have you.
Well, how's it going?
Good, Michael. Thank you for getting in as always.
No problem. With the Knicks playing like they were the last three games, not the last game, but the last three before that. Going, but beating all the opponents were by 25 or more, I believe.
Yeah, at least.
Was that the reason why Tibbs was fired, because of the offensive inefficiency and the lack of minutes played by their bench? He overworked their starters. Was this what New York was envisioning when they let him go?
You know, that's an interesting point. Maybe. I sort of think this group of players is just coming of age right now. You know, some of that is just sort of fate, timing. You know, I mean, I think the Knicks in this stretch of games are playing the best basketball I've seen them play I mean, in a long, long time. And so, you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's the coaching thing come home. Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Well, because I don't think Mike Brown's I think they're equals. I don't think one's better than the other.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tibbs, he was more defensive minded,
yeah,
and defensive orientated, and you know, lack of rotation and you know, heavy minutes.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. Yeah, it's an interesting point, and the Knicks right now look like an offensive juggernaut. They're getting offensive production from virtually every spot on the court, and they're sharing the ball, and they're moving the ball, and they're hard to defend. And it does, from a stylistic standpoint, it does look different under Brown.
It's the same core players.
Yeah.
With a different mindset. And I just think it was when they let Tibbs go, which nobody seen coming because he led them to the playoffs.
Yeah.
This one, they was wanting for.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think it's a really interesting point, and I think maybe you're onto something.
You know, I listen to you once. I learn from the best.
Well, it's very kind of you. Very kind of you, Michael. But you also bring it because I think that's a really interesting suggestion, and I would have to say yes. I mean, they look like a different team offensively than they ever did under Tibbs.
Yeah, they did. And I wanted this, as Tibbs kicking this stuff, and then you know what, like, yeah, if I had to change this, yeah, we could have won the championship.
He'd really be kicking himself if the Knicks wanted to win the title, which I don't think is impossible. I mean, they need Anunoby. And so that hamstring can't be anything serious because they need him, because I think he's playing the best basketball of his life right now. So I'm loving watching the Knicks play. I mean, there's some bad basketball being played in these playoffs, but not by the Knicks.
Yeah, and think about those hamstrings. You got to let it rest.
Yep.
You don't want that thing to pop. You know what I mean? What his finals being every other day.
I hate that injury. Rest. Like personally, like I've suffered all sorts of injuries in sports. Also breaks, tears, emergency surgeries. I've suffered. The thing I hate are hamstring injuries because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you want it to be. You know, it just takes time. And if you rush it, you go right back to zero.
Right, right.
So.
That's all I got for today, Walt.
Good stuff, Michael. Yep. I like the point. Yep, really good stuff. Robert in Georgia, all good callers. Robert, how are you? Robert, good to have you.
Walt, I'm great. I hope y'all are.
Yeah, thank you, Robert.
As far as the 2014 playoff, I agree with you. More football, better. But my question, and I have 3 points that are, I guess, negative. One, last year we had a 12-team playoff, and it was great. But we had 3 teams in there that didn't belong in that playoff. We had the 2 group of 5s in Alabama. So could they have filled a 24-team competitive playoff last year?
Well, I mean, look, you can always question any playoff being competitive. I mean, you can question whether most of those 4-team playoffs were competitive. There were a lot of blowout games in those. So I don't think that changes the equation. And plus, you never know. Again, you know, the Miami Hurricanes, who came within a whisker of winning the national championship last year, would not have been in a 4-team playoff.
No.
You know, so
I'm surprised they were in a 12-team playoff. I mean, I didn't know what was going to happen with them. I thought it was going to be they were going to get robbed.
Well, right, and obviously they belonged. So who's to say that a team at 18 doesn't wind up with the same situation? You know, and keep in mind, it might be a team that suffered some significant injury during the season that set them back. Now that's what the NFL playoffs allow for example. You know, you can have a bad month or injuries, and you become a different team. I mean, you know, the New York Giants won a Super Bowl with Eli Manning at quarterback with a bad record against a team that was undefeated, you know,
yeah.
They came on, and by the time the playoffs came around, they were a completely different football team. And, you know, so I think you always have that opportunity. Are there going to be some teams that get whacked on the outer edges of this? Yeah, but, again, there were teams that got whacked when it was just four.
Yeah. The second point, and this is probably a moot point, but it does nothing to eliminate the human element, which is a big sticking point for me. I mean, I just don't understand. I guess it's never going away.
Well, one thing it does is it stretches it out. In other words, you know, I think logically we can say that, you know, team 25 is probably going to be less deserving than team 13.
Yeah. They use all of these metrics that start out based on preseason polls.
Yeah.
Which are stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said multiple times, but they use these preseason polls where, you know, six SEC teams are ranked, and they say, well, you know, that they beat a ranked team. Well, yeah, they were unfairly ranked. But the third thing is, I'm not in favor of doing away with the conference championships. Walt, that's just moving college football further away from normal sports, like normal football, where you have conference championships to move on into the postseason.
Well, you know, look, at times conference championship games have proven detrimental to the leagues holding them. Now, they've done those, they've executed and kept those games for economic reasons. You know, and I've enjoyed conference championship games, and I'm, you know, I don't necessarily want to do away with them, but I do understand that if you're going to stretch this thing out and you're going to go to 24 teams, that you're going to have to create some, you're going to have to shorten and find some ways to cut some games. And I think that's one of those games. And they're also going
to
say,
so you would be more in favor of cutting the championship games than lessening the games during the season?
Well, again, there's an individual school economic situation with that. You know, that's why that schedule expanded, because, you know, teams want to play seven home games. They want to make money playing home games, you know, that type of thing. So I understand all of that. I'm not saying that there aren't minor things to it, but would you agree that the 12-team, just from a viewership standpoint, that the 12-team playoff provided way more entertainment than the prior 4-team versions had?
Absolutely. Right. It absolutely did. There is no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Miami would have never gotten in there if it would have been any less than 12. I mean, were they the 12th team in, or was it Alabama? I don't know.
You know, Robert, I'll tell you something else. I mentioned this briefly the other day, but I think that championship game is truly one of the great championship games we have ever seen played. Now, somehow, I'm not sure that all of college football understands just how good that game was. That Indiana-Miami game was played nearly flawlessly. You know, the only turnover came at the end when Beck tried to force that ball a little bit, and you were sort of at a time frame where you almost had to try and force something. And he underthrew it a little bit, and that's what happened. But the game itself was basically flawless, and, you know, and I thought both teams really, really played well. And it was a great ending to the season. You know, you contrast that with the NFL, who I thought their season was abysmal, and then I thought the ending was abysmal.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to be careful. I don't want the little girls on the text line to accuse me of gloating anymore. I mean, I guess, I don't know, when can I talk about Indiana and Kurt Cignetti again? Next season?
That's pretty funny.
No, it was, Walt. I mean, I can't remember that good of a – maybe the Clemson – Alabama game,
yeah.
The game, you know,
yeah.
the one, the last one,
and USC Texas was obviously a great game, and those were very talented teams and all that. But these were talented teams, and they went at it, and they played
and it was the style, like you were saying yesterday.
Right.
They were both physical,
so physical. I mean,
teams.
Yeah, it was a really physical, really physical game. And again, you know, in those type of games, you expect turnovers and such. There weren't any. You know,
no.
The execution, the coaching, everything, the whole The whole thing was just flawless. In fact, you know, I said the other day, I want to go back this weekend and watch that game again because I just think it's worth another.
I heard you say that. I'm going to do the same thing. Yeah. I think I'm going to do it Sunday when it's supposed to rain. Walt, I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you, Robert. Good talking to you as always. Yeah, I mean, I think that's where we are. Let me tell you about Twin Peaks. Man, Twin Peaks is back. Twin Peaks is such an amazing place for a sports fan. First of all, you have the staple 29-degree draft beer served in the frosted mugs. I mean, when the temperature is 90 degrees out, what's better than going inside a beautiful lodge with beautiful women and getting giant man-sized drafts in frosted mugs at 29 degrees? Are you kidding me? Made from scratch, comfort food. I say this all the time. The food is the biggest surprise at the Peaks. Wall-to-wall TVs, 80 high-definition monitors, every game, every fight, every big moment. It's like you're in your own studio. Twin Peaks girls delivering signature lodge experience. Rustic mountain lodge atmosphere, burgers stacked high and cooked to order. The burgers are unbelievable. All the food is incredible. As you heard Rudy say and others, smoked in-house wings and brisket, signature cocktails, ice cold drafts, seasonal specials, limited time menus, happy hour deals, the ultimate man cave sports lodge, UFC, boxing, football, basketball. If it's on, it's at the Peaks. Massive screens, perfect sight lines. It just doesn't get better. Game watch parties, event nights. It's your lodge away from home. It's high energy, fun, friendly atmosphere, scenic views. It just makes it all happened. It's Twin Peaks. It's what the scenic views made Twin Peaks famous. It's the perfect spot for guys' night, after hour, after work hangouts, weekend escapes. It just doesn't get better. And we've told you already about some of the incredible drink specials they have. Again, the beautiful women, the 80 high definition monitors, all the amazing drink specials. But the biggest surprise to me in the whole deal is the food. The food is outstanding. It's the ultimate place for every sports fan. Get to the Peaks. You'll thank me later. Quick break.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone.
Do you know what time it is, Ramona?
No, what time is it?
You don't have a clock in there?
Yeah, I know what time it is.
You know what time it is? Do you know what day it is?
Yeah.
You know what day and time it is? Day.
It's the 7th.
Day.
It's Thursday.
Day. Thursday. Thursday at 7, Ramona. What happens at Thursday and 7 that you can't have and only I can have? No one offered you anything. Don't tell any lies to any, you know, we don't want to get anybody's hopes up that can't get into our club.
All I did was open up the
website. That's
a lie.
Don't be telling all lies. Only Mr. Fender and I
offered it.
We are the VIPs. We are the only VIPs in this area. You cannot get in. This is a very exclusive club. There's no way you were offered. It's impossible. VIP, very exclusive club worldwide, every Thursday at 7. And yes, Ramona, it is the time. They have sent me the inventory, Ramona. And here are the vehicles, Ramona, that I can buy and Mr. Fender can buy, but none of you other people can buy because at
I didn't sign up for it.
No.
They said, right when I opened it, said, sign up for a VIP.
Yeah, they were not going to let you in immediately. Yeah, they're not going to let you in.
No,
that's false.
It's not false.
Myself and Mr. Fender.
Oh, y'all too.
We are the only two VIPs in South Carolina. None of you other people can be a VIP. It's a very special class. Okay, you can go to Worldwide. You can look at the other vehicles. You can look at the other vehicles, but you can't look at the VIP collection. Those are special vehicles. They are an eclectic group of special vehicles that are just for the VIP,
just
the very important VIP members, like Mr. Fender and myself.
Yeah, and didn't he buy one?
He did buy one.
He did. And what did he say about it?
Well, I think that was before he was a VIP.
Oh, really?
I think that was back when he was just like you, you know, hopeless on the outside looking in. And he had to buy from, like, the regular page. And he may have acquired a lemon at that time.
Yeah.
You know, you never know when you might acquire a lemon. He may have acquired a lemon. He ran into some difficulties with that vehicle. But, again, that was before he had the exclusive VIP collection. See, look here. Here's the thing. I get – This is what I get. It says so right here, Ramona. I receive discounted VIP pricing. I'm the first to hear about vehicles in our inventory before, in capitals, they hit the market. I receive a 72-hour exclusive window with the first opportunity to buy. The first opportunity, capital letters. And I not receive other emails or solicitations. So this is it, Ramona. So there are, how many do I have here? There are 20. I think I have 20 vehicles here, Ramona, that you can't buy, but I can buy.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like 20. Maybe a few more, but it's like 20-ish. So, you know, again, I know you all want to be me, but you can't. That's just the way it is. You are on the outside looking in. But I can tell you about them. Like I have this Toyota Land Cruiser FJ40. That's a 78 model. I got a Dodge Power Wagon. I've got a Chevrolet Suburban, low miles, all red. Not too big on the red, on the all red there. I've got a few Land Rovers. There's usually a few Jeeps in here. I got another Suburban. Got some trucks. Yeah. This is a curated collection, Ramona, selected especially for me. And again, that's
especially for you.
That's what happens
and when Mr. Fender.
Right. When you're a VIP, I'm not even sure they give Mr. Fender all the vehicles they give me. Probably not.
Well, he's a VIP.
He's VIP-ish.
He's VIP-ish.
Yeah, he gets some of these vehicles, but probably not all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, the only one who gets all of them.
I don't know. Yeah. If he bought one, then it would seem that all of a sudden he would get all sorts of good treatment.
They send him that other list. They send him
he
that.
He doesn't really know.
There are 286 vehicles on that other list.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he picked
but only the one. Only yeah, he ones picked, on your list he, are the ones yeah. that are trying to get rid of so bad.
No, the ones
Yeah, they are.
No,
they're like every week we'll send
you
these
big
ones.
Dummy.
These ones that
no, you big dummy
that haven't sold not, since that is a not year. The, they've been on the list a year. Let's send them to the VIPs.
That is not the case, you big dummy. That is not the case. And you know better than that. These are the most special of the special, and it's just a
just call somebody special. And look what you get.
It's a very very exclusive club. And I know you're bitter. I know. I understand you're bitter.
Oh yeah, because I want a used car. Yeah. Can't wait for a used car.
I understand your bitterness. Hey, some of these have very low miles, and some are restored, frame off restoration. Yeah, I mean
restoration.
That's right. Frame
in
off.
In other words, it's been a wreck and they fixed
off.
It.
There's a couple resto mods. I don't know how I feel about resto mods. It depends. Here's a nice Mustang Fastback. I'm not really in the market for that. I'm looking at all these four-wheel drives that I, just me, can exclusively buy if I choose to. Yeah, it's really good stuff. And every Thursday, it feels good to be special. And every Thursday, we are in this truly elite club. By the way, Ramona, speaking of elite clubs, our boy Mike Vrabel and his mistress Rossini are back in the news again.
Yes, man, they need to what again?
this time, Ramona, yes, play their song.
That's their song.
Yeah, it's their song. It's their song. It's their music. It'll always be their song. This one from 2021, Ramona. The year is 2026. This from 2021. What happened to the music? Don't take it away completely.
Go ahead.
No, don't take it away completely.
I'm listening to you.
Don't take it away completely. 2021, we have to honor them.
Wait a minute. Yeah. 2021 now?
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Okay, so.
Yeah, 5 years ago, they took a boat ride together.
A boat? They took a boat ride, all right.
Yeah. No, 5 years ago, they took an actual boat ride together. And, and, oh, by the way, this was an exclusive boat ride. This was.
Of course it was.
Yeah. There were no other patrons, all right?
This wasn't like a convention or anything?
No. This was just the two of them. And they signed up and the paperwork for it and everything else, Ramona. And they went on their little boat ride. Now, there's a couple little other added elements of this story. She was 7 months pregnant at the time.
When they took the boat ride?
When they took the boat ride. Okay, so.
Are you telling me that the boat ride is the first known time that they were together?
No.
Or she's 7 months pregnant with boat ride boys? Baby.
Here's the thing. I mean, let's just honestly play along with this for a second and get in trouble here in the last 2 minutes. All right?
Okay.
If she is not carrying dude's munchkin.
Yeah. Why are you on a boat ride with a 7 month pregnant woman?
Right. What exactly do you hope to achieve physically with the 7 month pregnant woman who is carrying child that is not yours?
Yeah.
It's not really like a normal starting point. Okay. It's just not. It's not what normally we in the club of males would be looking for. Okay. It's not. You can have a boat ride with a 120-pound woman who's hot and doesn't come with 7 month child. See, and then you can actually do all the wink wink boating activities you want to be able to do as opposed to. And oh, by the way, Ramona, this was the same munchkin that Diana was carrying that wound up being named Mike.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
She named the kid Mike.
Yeah, we covered that in a prior episode. I can understand your confusion because there have been so many prior episodes.
Wait a minute. The non-texter didn't notice something was wrong?
Right? No. Apparently not. Yeah, the non-text.
He's better off without her. Man.
Yeah,
their other halves are better off without them.
Oh yeah. Look. First thing, regarding her, is you need some medical testing. Okay, all right. Listen. I'm sorry. This is not the way it works. NFL football coach is not hanging around seven. It's not going on a wink, wink boat ride, exclusive wink, wink boat ride with 7 month pregnant chick who's not carrying his child. Okay. I'm sorry.
If it's just them, you're saying it was just them two and the captain or whoever's driving the boat.
Right. Who has to be blindfolded.
And she's 7 months pregnant.
And there's
nothing to that.
Ooh, baby.
Ooh, baby.
Again, if it's not his, ooh, baby. I can't wait.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No.
And she named it Mike.
Mike.
Serious? I mean, that's a serious thing you're saying?
Yeah, no. Seriously. That's seven.
And she didn't think any of this was going to come out, naming the kid Mike. It's probably on the birth certificate.
Yeah. Mike. Mike V.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Let's beat. I'm Freddie Coleman of ESPN Radio's Freddie and Harry.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson.
97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.